here's the Apostle Paul. He sensed the frustration, right? This is chapter 5 now. It's a lot of letters. And a bulk of it, he's just like, guys, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing, right? Don't you realize what God has given to you? Don't you realize that the freedom that God has given to you is phenomenal? Everything that the Lord has relayed to you and to me, it's just beyond what we can imagine. So why are you getting back into the junk? Why are you getting back into the garbage? Why are you getting back into that cage that you came from? Frustration. And then he mentioned something that I entitled the passage, the message on. He mentioned something called yeast. And so I want to speak about the danger of yeast in the church and how that relates to this passage. The first thought is there is a tendency for us, you know, to choose wrongly. Do you know that? The Bible speaks about this and he says, we are the sheep of his pasture, right? That sounds great. Who doesn't like a sheep? But you know, sheep are really dumb. They really are, all right? In fact, that's why they need a shepherd. Without a shepherd, okay, they would do, like the next slide that's coming up, they would do this. They would just kind of jump off the cliff. You know, you heard a phrase, you know, if someone tells you to jump off the cliff with you, then you say, of course not. But yes, we would. Yes, we would, okay? Because we are sheep. Sheep are so dependent on a shepherd. And if the shepherd's gone, we're just going to walk off any cliff thinking, oh, yeah, he went off, so I better go off. And it's I love the slide, you know, just like typical of what sometimes we as God's people are like. Let me give you some of the things that have happened, you know, in churches. We just kind of follow along and we just kind of decide, all right, that seems to be the right thing to do. We're going to do this. And the pattern that has happened in our society and in the church in America has been like this. You know, all right, you mean we have to get circumcised before we become Christian? Oh, yes, we do. All right, let's do that then. And that's what the Apostle Paul was addressing there. But it wasn't just about that alone. It was all the other things that the sheep actually thought they needed to do or they were a part of. So we choose wrong. We just naturally like to choose wrong unless there's someone guiding us, unless the Word of God is just so clearly before us, unless someone is able to say, hey, this is God's Word. You do not choose wrongly, but otherwise we do. And so it's good for us to understand that. It's good for us to, as God's people, to understand that we have a real tendency to do that. We allow our emotions, we allow our thoughts, we allow things outside to come into it. But it's more than just our tendency to choose wrong. Because Paul speaks about it, something else, that yeast we just talked about. There is a regular danger in the church that is what is called yeast. There are people that will come into church, there are situations that will come into the church that will give us wrong ideas and direct us in the wrong things. That's just the church, because the church is open to people. It isn't something that is locked up and say, you got to fit in this and this and this and this. We have people that naturally just come in by the power of the enemy and more, maybe just on their own, to begin to talk about things. In our church, I remember one particular person. He decided there's no hell. There's no hell. So he was adamant about it. He's a good friend of mine. He's a person that really believes there's no hell. So he developed a theology about it. He wrote all kinds of things about it, passing it out to people to say there's no hell. And of course, there's other people outside of the church saying the same thing, right? The world is saying the same thing. You know, one of the things that we are doing now in the Sunday school is we're talking about false teachings and all. There are all kinds of teachings about no hell. You know, you can go in all those directions. And by the way, if you tell someone there's no hell, you sound like a good guy because, you know, you're a nice guy. Not the evil pastor out there, you know, that wants to condemn me to hell. So if we're teaching those kinds of things, go to the next slide, guys. We're teaching those kinds of things, and there are people that are doing that. They are yeast. They just come a little bit, do a little bit, and next thing you know, and I've seen people like this in the church. I've seen people come into the church. I've seen people come into this church, didn't stay very long. You probably don't even know who they are. I knew who they were. I know what they're teaching. I knew that that is not going to go well here if they start teaching that. I'm glad that they moved away, because there are things that they're teaching that are wrong. These are the regular dangers that can happen in the church. We had another guy, you know, who just decided that once you became a Christian, you never sin again. You just never sin again. So he was nasty as can be. He was sinning all the time, but he said, that's not sin, because I don't sin anymore. And he's teaching these kind of things to people. And, you know, next thing you know, other people are following it, and there's a little bit of yeast that goes on and goes on and goes on and goes on. And it is dangerous for churches to just allow that to happen. And the Apostle Paul is saying, guys, there's yeast in your church. You know what yeast is, right? Of course you do. You are all bakers. The little things that you put in the dough, and before you put it in the oven, I don't know what it is. I think some creatures, right? Some bacteria or something like that. They begin to eat things in the dough, and they begin to breathe, is it? I'm just guessing. And then it blows up. The bread is flat, and it begins to swell up, right? That's how bread gets like that. And then you bake it. And that's what yeast does. Yeast helps the bread be nice and fluffy. If you don't put yeast in it, what you get is matzah, you know? You get the flat thing. As flat as can be, not really good unless you like matzah. I don't know anybody really likes it, you know, but you got to eat it when in a certain time, like communion time, we do that, right? So that's what yeast is, and that's what happens when someone comes into church and he just begins to teach these things, a little bit here, a little bit here, a little bit here, and next thing you know, it blows up. You say, oh, that can't happen in the Baptist church like ours, right? Oh, of course not. It can't happen in a Christian ministry all over the place, right? Of course not. Do you know what's happening out there? The things that are being said? Things such as, you know, on social media, I have Facebook friends that's talking about all these things, you know, attacking Christian organizations because they're standing for the biblical family, standing for a marriage between a man and a woman. These are Christians in Christian groups, in Christian organizations, in churches that are attacking you and me if we stood against that. Yeah, I mean, stood for that. That's what is happening. You say, well, can't it happen? This is happening, the yeast that's out there. Particularly young people in groupings, unless you are strong in the Word of God, unless you are deep in it and say, you know what? The Bible says this. And no matter what we want, no matter what the political situation and atmosphere of our world is, we must stick with that. And so I want to encourage you guys to understand that even in our church, there will be yeast, and when there is yeast, we need to address it. We need to go to the person, talk to the person, you know, pray with the person and say, this is not right. Now, the third thing I want to share, and we don't have a lot of time today, so I'm rushing a little bit more. The third thing is understand God's view on such perpetrators, the yeast. You say, well, you know, God's going to just let it be. No. See, God loves his church. God knows what's happening. And the Apostle Paul stated here, and because he stated here, because this is the Word of God, this is what God is saying, there is going to be judgment on people who do these things. Now, I'm not saying any of you are, but if you happen to be one of those persons, you need to understand that God's eye is upon you. And there is judgment for that. I mean, it sounds pretty severe what the Apostle Paul writes here. But I want to tell you that these things happen. A long time ago, I remember just in the late 70s, actually, something that I was a part of and understood. There was a man who was a pastor, actually, and he did some terrible things, some messing around financially, breaking illegally, you know, laws and all. And it ended up costing this particular church that my family was part of $200,000. So they were in $200,000 debt. And so my father and a bunch of godly people, they worked real hard at paying back the debt because they were not going to allow the gospel message to be slandered because of that. So they did. After they did all that, this particular man who went away a long time ago came back. And I was there. I remember it. He came back to the church and demanded that the church... He said the church owed him a lot more money, demanded. And it's unbelievable to think that someone who swindled the church, who did all kinds of stuff like that, will come in and try to do more. Well, the church did what it could, whatever it is. And then the man went back, and he was living at the time in San Francisco. And within that week, he was hit by a taxi and was killed. And there's not a person that knew about this that didn't know that that was a judgment from God. I want you to understand that God doesn't kill everybody that sins, okay? Otherwise, we'll be all dead. But I want you to understand that if you are yeast, okay, God will not tolerate that. He loves his church. There are stories I can name for you, and I don't have time right now to tell you again and again, that will have your hair, the hair on your spine stand straight up when you see it. You know, just one more. I was just told this, a friend from Ukraine said this couple just did those kind of things in the church. And one day, they went on a trip, he and his wife, and his daughter, who was not a part of this, and a friend. While driving on the road, there was an accident in front of him. And one of the tires of that car came toward them, struck their car, killed the couple. But their daughter and the friend was unscathed. It was almost like impossible for that to happen. And it was a strong message to those who are in the Christian community, say, God is there. Do not mess with God. Do not mess with God and his church. You want to trust the Lord in how he handles his church. So the Apostle Paul here is just frustrated. You know, you sense that. Because now, next week, we're going to transition in the phenomenal part of Galatians where we focus a lot of time on. We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, you know, the love and joy and peace. But right now, he's saying to the guys, understand this, that God is giving you a great life. Do not allow yeast. Do not allow these teachings. Do not allow these people to come into your midst and begin to mess it up. And by the way, the church is not about people alone. It is God's church. He has a huge part in it, and he will surely be there. For that, you know, it kind of shocks me when I read it. But then I thought, thank you, God. Thank you that church is not all about what I do, what the people do. It's about what you do and what you're going to do. And praise God for that. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for just this promise. We thank you for your word. Sometimes it's hard, but we bless you for it. We pray, Lord God, that in our church that we will stay true to you always, that we will never, never veer away from your word. And Father, there may be some yeast in our church, but Father, would you convict? Would your hand of conviction be upon those individuals that they will repent and come to a knowledge of you in a way that you want, and that they can just love you and grow in your grace. Thank you, Jesus.